Today, I am answering some of my most popular viewer questions, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the Sarah Kleiner Wellness YouTube channel and the Evolving Wellness Podcast. Today, I am doing a solo episode, something I haven't done in quite a while, and I'm answering some questions that were submitted by people in my community, and they are questions that I get very often. So hopefully we can get through all of them as we start to wrap up this year. It is the third week in December, I think, or second week in December. I'm getting ahead of myself. And so a lot of us are kind of in that holiday crunch time, ignoring our own self-care, our own needs. And so hopefully some of the stuff that I talk about in this episode is going to be helpful and relevant to you in helping you stay on track through this time of year. I know it can be a really, really difficult. And I also want to let you know I am putting out my 10-day leptin sensitive for the holidays course that you can do through Friday, December the 15th. So I know I'm not giving you much time to decide if you want to do this or not, but I am putting out that course again just until Friday the 15th. You can get that. It is $25. And I'm not going to be releasing that course again until November 2024. So if you have been on the fence, you really want to dive into a few things deeper than my free resources here on the podcast and the YouTube channel, this course is a really, really great way to get an understanding of leptin resistance and some real actionable tools that you can start to implement now. Now, if you've done that 10-day course, or you really want a more comprehensive approach to your health here at the end of the year and looking into next year, then check out my December specials. I'm also going to link those down in the show notes for you. I'm doing 20% off the 21-day leptin reset, 30% off of quantum exercise, and 40% off of quantum nutrition. So all of those and some bundles that are going to save you up to 50%. And all those holiday bundles, they come with this 10-day leptin sensitive for the holidays course. So all the bundles have that course built into it at no additional charge. And then there's a huge discount for bundling things. So that is all my announcements before I jump into this episode. I do want to thank my two sponsors, Viva Rays. They are my go-to source for protecting my circadian rhythms with their circadian glasses. Code YOGI saves you 15% over there. And then upgraded formulas. I got to be honest with you, one of the things that I am relying heavily upon during this time of year is magnesium. I love the upgraded formulas magnesium because it actually bypasses the gut. And so many people have gut issues. So if you are looking for a really good magnesium to help support your body during this time of year, check out upgraded formulas. Use my code YOGI12 or YOGI if you've already used that one before. All right, let's go ahead and start jumping into some of these questions. So the first question is, looking at sunrise through a window, do I have to go outside? It is really cold. So it is best if you go outdoors, you're going to get the most exposure to that light. But if you have a window that you can open, right, and there is just a screen and no glass, then you can still get some benefits of sunrise. What we need is that signal from sunrise that gives us our perfect amount of blue light, red, infrared. There is a whole spectrum of light that we get from sunrise. So I also get the question, can I just use a red light therapy device instead? You really need to actually get the signal from the sun because it's actually the amount of blue light that comes in at sunrise that tells your body to start that hormonal production of cortisol, thyroid hormone, sex hormone, all those things happen at sunrise. And you can't get that through glass because modern glass, if you were in a home that was built maybe in like the 1920s, then you might not have this glass that has been engineered to block out UV red infrared, but you really want to get all those different signals. And so I know it's really cold a lot of places. So opening that window, making sure that there is no glass blocking your view will be helpful. We'll give you a signal. But if you can go outside, that's really going to be the best thing you can do for sunrise. Next question is, can you get vitamin D when the UV index is below 5? Can your body make vitamin D? So how do you even know this? You get the D-Minder app. And if you want to understand the D-Minder app and what time sunrise happens and all those things, you're going to want to go to my free guide to building your perfect quantum day. It's in my free resources. So if you go to my website, www.sarahkleinerwellness.com and go to free resources. You're going to find that free guide to building your perfect quantum day. It'll give you a link to the DMinder app, and that's going to tell you what time sunrise is. It will also tell you if you have UVB right now. There's always UVA, but a lot of places don't have UVB. Here where I am in Georgia, we do have UVB, but the index is really low. It's like a 2. And so technically you can make vitamin D. However, you really would have to be outside with no clothes on for hours and hours and hours and hours. It's just the lower that index, the longer that you have to be outside. So for most people, when it's cold today, it's like 35 degrees Fahrenheit. So I don't really know a lot of people that are going to lay outside with no clothes on to make vitamin D. So it is very difficult. That's why I recommend people try to make as much in the summertime as they can and then keep their winter time more restorative so that your body can actually hang on to more vitamin D. But the answer to that question is technically, yes, you can. The next question is, what are the circadian things that you can do and quantum health things that you can do when you're really suffering from SAD or seasonal affective disorder? So this is a big thing that people go through. Absolutely. And I did for years and years myself. And one of the biggest mistakes I think people make this time of year is that they think that just because it's cloudy and gloomy and gray and rainy outside, that there's no use in going outdoors because it's just not bright enough. You're not going to get the same benefits as if you would if it's a beautiful sunny day. The truth is, if you use a lux meter, it is not a million, but it is way, 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 way brighter outdoors than it is indoors. When again, use a lux meter to see the actual brightness. So even if it's cloudy, rainy, windy, any of that stuff, sun is obstructed, you can't see it, you're still going to get that proper signal that your body needs. You're still going to get the signal to make those neurotransmitters. So that's the number one thing that I think people stop doing in the winter is they don't go outside. And I get comments and messages and emails pretty much, I would say daily, from people who are like, I live in Seattle, I live in Scotland, I live in the UK, I live in this really dark, rainy place during the winter, and I'm really struggling and we don't have sun. Well, you do have sun. Unfortunately, there is some obstruction, but the good news is that nature doesn't make mistakes and you can still actually get what your body needs from just going outside at that time. Now, what can be really helpful if you do have seasonal depression, right, is getting that morning signal. So put your blue blockers on first. I keep my blue blockers beside my bed. And so I put on either yellow or orange blue blockers. As soon as I get out of bed, go straight downstairs, pop outside, of course, without the blue blockers on, try to get as much of that signal as I can. If children allow for it, I'll sit outside, eat some breakfast. I'll wrap up in a blanket because, like I said, it's been pretty cold here this last week. And so I just try to wrap up and go out there. And then if I have time, or once I get, you know, my daughter off to school, get my son settled, I will do some red light therapy. And I think red light therapy can be, there's actually a good amount of scientific evidence to show that it can help depression and anxiety. The other thing again is cold, getting outside and even just doing cold exposure by just being outside. Again, when we look at scientific literature around cold exposure and depression, anxiety, there are some pretty interesting studies to show that cold therapy can help your body to experience less depression and anxiety. So I definitely recommend either going outside, getting cold, or dunking your face in ice water. I also have a cold therapy course if you really want to dive in depth to the whole cold therapy thing and learn how to do it so you don't mess up your hormones and you don't, you know, overdo it and make yourself sick, because that tends to be like kind of the American way. I know I have a lot of people that live overseas that listen to the show, but here in America, more, better, faster is the way it goes. And people end up doing that with cold therapy and it can make you sick, right? Because your body hasn't had enough time to gently adapt to cold. So getting outside for morning signals, if you have seasonal depression, red light therapy is really, really helpful. If you can swing a panel, I use the EMR Tech panel. I think my code Sarah30 will still give you 30% off. I'm not sure if Chris has taken that down. If not, Sarah20 will give you 20% off. And then cold is super, super important. And then honoring darkness. I think this is one thing that we also don't do during the winter at all is we don't honor darkness. We're eating way, way after dark, right? So I know some people, it's getting dark at like 4 o'clock right now. We're approaching winter solstice. And so to tell someone, don't eat after four. Now, I am just really fat adapted and it's kind of easy for me to not eat a big meal after 4 p.m. after darkness. It's easy because I've been doing this for years now. But a lot of people are like, I'm not going to stop eating at four. I'll be starving. Just try to keep your dinner, you know, 3-4 hours away from bedtime and make sure you're wearing blue blockers after sunset. Now, my free guide to using blue blockers, which is again on my website at www.sarahkleinerwellness.com. And I'll try to pop the free resources link in the show notes as well. That's going to tell you orange versus red versus yellow. Short story, yellow during the day, if you're under a bunch of fluorescent LEDs, like artificial lights, or on a screen, make sure you take breaks to go outside. That's a huge mistake people can make is just wear yellow glasses all day long. It can make you sleepy. It can make you tired and because you're not getting enough blue light. This is a very rare problem, but I have seen people do it. So if you're going to wear the yellows during the day, take breaks, go outside, see natural light. And then when sunset hits, orange, and then about an hour before bed, red. So honoring darkness, honoring cold, getting outside. And I honestly used to suffer from weight gain, depression, anxiety. Like winter, I would just absolutely dread it. And I felt like January, February is when I would just nearly about have a nervous breakdown or, you know, I had always put on the weight by the time February rolled around, you know, 20, 30 pounds every single February, you know, and then March you start doing the cleanses and I'm so glad to be off of that roller coaster now because I just keep these things in place year round and it's so much easier. And again, that 10-day leptin course kind of details a lot of this stuff about staying leptin sensitive during the holidays, during this time of year. So if you're like, I really want to learn more, get more in depth on this, I've got the free guides. And then I've also got that 10-day course that can help you, especially if you're like worried about gaining weight and dealing with seasonal depression this time of year. Just know that, again, it's something that I dealt with for most of my life. I have the pictures to show it. Maybe one day I'll do like a show and tell and show all the pictures of me and how my weight has gone up and down and up and down. And it's just been a nightmare. And now having these practices, the most stable my weight has been, hormones, mood, all of that stuff. And so, and it's not just me. I have a ton of people in my community. I have a lot of friends, like my dear friend, Carrie Bennett, that we have our Quantum Conversations podcast. I know a lot of people who also do this stuff, who have the same experience. So it's not just an anecdotal thing. And there is a lot of scientific research to back up this information as well. So again, not just some anecdotal story of some woman sitting here telling you, do this. And, you know, this is very, very backed by science. So I hope that helps if you are struggling with that seasonal depression this year. The next question was, what do I think about fruit and how do you lose weight on a carnivore diet? So I don't have a problem with fruit if you're eating it locally and seasonally. So if you live in a place where fruit is growing right now and you're not leptin resistant, go for it, right? But if you are like me, you live in Atlanta and you're trying to stay leptin sensitive or you live in like the Northern Hemisphere, not really a lot of fruit or any fruit at all growing, I wouldn't eat a ton of it. I wouldn't do it because it's circadian mismatch. And anytime we have circadian mismatch, it can create inflammation in the body. And again, there's a lot of research that shows this circadian mismatch being a trigger for obesity, diabetes, Alzheimer's, depression, anxiety, gut issues, all these things. And it stems to leptin resistance. So yeah, I always am like, are you leptin sensitive? And is there fruit growing where you live? I don't demonize anything that grows from the ground, really. I used to think that that was a thing, speaking of the carnivore diet. But now that I have really adopted the circadian and quantum way of living, and I actually have tested it, this year has been really one of the most stressful years of my entire life. I actually recorded a whole podcast episode talking about it. And then I chickened out and I called my team. I'm like, please delete that episode. I'm not ready to put it out. But this goes to say that I have been through one of the most stressful years of my life, trying to navigate things with my daughter's health and other things. And again, I'm not ready to talk about it publicly just yet. And this stuff works, right? I've been able to keep up with these habits, even through hospital stays, through sleepless nights where she's not sleeping, blue blockers and special light bulbs, and then just staying consistent with my meal timing and all these different things. I have been able to keep my health intact and a new baby, right? My son is 14 months now. So I've put these things to the test, this quantum life, this circadian life. I've really put it to the test this year. And so I really believe in it. And again, I've road tested this with a ton of clients. Carnivore diet can be really helpful if you have inflammation, if you have a lot of issues going on with your body and you just need to quiet down some of that inflammatory storm. I do think it can be helpful, but I don't really think people should do it 365 days a year. I have just myself not had a good experience doing that. That's a whole conversation for another episode. And then the amount of women I've worked with that have done this and now they're kind of stuck in down gear and they're unable to go back and forth between a glucose metabolism and a ketone burning metabolism, and they're not even efficient in a ketone metabolism anymore. I've just, as a practitioner, not seen it stand the test of time with lots and lots of people. Now, there's always the anecdotal person that's like, I've been doing this for years and I'm doing fabulous and I'm doing great. And there are some people that have that experience. But again, when you have a large platform and you have a lot of people contacting you via email, via messages, and then coming into your programs, into your group coaching, this is what I've seen. So carnivore diet, again, if you have a lot of autoimmune issues, inflammatory issues, I think it can be great. And I do detail this in my quantum nutrition course of how to kind of come in and out of carnivore. And if you've been carnivore for a long time, how to slowly bring carbs back in. Because if you've been carnivore for a couple of years and you just start trying to eat carbohydrates, your body is probably going to hold on to a lot of water. You're probably not going to be able to digest them very well. And it's a little bit of a process, not to scare anyone, but this is just, again, working with a lot of people. So I have a whole section about that in quantum nutrition, and in quantum nutrition, how to properly use carnivore if you do want to use it, because I do think it can be a fantastic tool. But if you want to lose weight, I'm not going to have you do carnivore as a rule. I'm going to have you kind of maybe come in and out of it if you even want to do carnivore. It's not a requirement for weight loss at all. Again, I'm probably going to get a lot of thumbs down on YouTube for saying this and maybe some interesting comments, but this is just kind of where I've come to over the last few years of really working intensely with people who've done the diet and experiencing it myself. This is a fun question. They want to know where I got my son's moccasins. So I do have some little leather moccasins for my son. And there is a company called Mini Tonka. I think it's M-I-N-N-E T-O-N-K-A. I really struggled to put shoes on my child for the first year because he just loved being barefoot so much. And it's pretty, you know, stays fairly warm here in Georgia. Now we're at the point where he needs to wear shoes. He's 14 months. He's going everywhere. And so I wanted to have a way to let him do some grounding and still get a little bit of the benefits of having bare feet, but having shoes on. And my mother was very happy. But I started making my child wear shoes when he was outside. If it was cold, if it's still not cold and we're at a place I can trust the earth, I still don't make him do it. But Mini Tonka, I think is what it's called. M-I-N-N-E-T-O-N-K-A. No affiliation, but just to answer that question. Next question is, what do you do if you get the cold or flu? What are some easy things you can do? And I'm a big fan of minerals and hydration. I think that's key, and rest, like really, really simple, low-hanging fruit. I love quinton, Q-U-I-N-T-O-N minerals. Isotonic is better if you feel like you're getting sick. Hypertonic is just better for everyday remineralization. But I'm a big fan of those minerals. I give them to my children if I feel like they're coming down with something, and rest. I also do red light therapy when I feel like I'm coming down with something, and I'll do a little red light therapy with the kids. They both like it a lot. My son, I make sure he doesn't get in his eyes because babies, they aren't going to turn away like animals do from the red light panel. You don't want to necessarily have a baby looking at a red light therapy panel. And then I also really like homeopathy, and I've had a lot of good results from homeopathy. So if I feel like I'm coming down with something, I will start on a remedy that I have found works best for me. Now, I would love to say this remedy is great for everyone, but what I've learned about homeopathy is there's a resonance that happens within your body. And it's not just based on specific remedies. Now, there are some remedies that are better for cold, flu, and strep, like belladonna is one, and that one actually works really well for me. Belladonna doesn't work necessarily for my son. He has some other remedies that I'll go to for him. Same thing with my daughter. So I think working with a trained homeopath can be really helpful. I know my friend Heather Shepherd, H-E-A-T-H-A-R Shepherd, she takes clients, and I know she actually has a network of trained homeopaths that work under her that she can refer you to if you want to see somebody really quickly. But I'm a huge fan of homeopathy when I feel like I'm getting sick. I also sweat. So a nice hot bath, magnesium soak. My son has a little something right now. We just did an Epsom salt bath before his nap, and we're doing a homeopathic remedy for him, trying to see if that's going to help him. And so we do homeopathy, warm baths. I have a sauna. I have a Sunlighten sauna. My code there, I think, is Sarah K. If you're looking to get a sauna this year, but I'll sit in that sauna. I turned it on earlier and I forgot. Have had too much going on today, but anything you can do to sweat. So think about when you're sick, what does your body need to do? A lot of times is break a fever. So sometimes giving yourself a fever through a hot bath, sitting in the sauna, even a red light therapy panel with good infrared, that can actually make your body sweat a little bit. Those things are helpful. And rest. I don't do like a whole bunch of herbs. I know I have some practitioner friends that will do like big doses of vitamin C, vitamin D, things like that. I personally don't do those things, but I do know some practitioners, and even in the quantum space, that will say do like 3 days of vitamin D K2 at like 10,000 IUs. Again, this is not medical advice, and that's not something I personally do. And some of them will say do like 3 days of vitamin C. It's just you don't necessarily want to supplement those things like for weeks on end. I know some people that swear by elderberry and these other types of things. Those are just things that I haven't necessarily implemented. Someone says they're struggling to break the habit of getting up with the sun, and they can't sleep at night, and they're really struggling. And I see this a lot. And so people, what ends up happening is they have a really hard time falling asleep. Their body's not making enough melatonin, or they start making melatonin and they're making it when the sun's coming up. They're in that deepest part of melatonin production. And so it's really, really hard for them to get out of bed. So my biggest piece of advice on this is really just to try to get out for UV in the morning as much as you can, and spend as much time outside getting that morning signal, because it is in UVA light where your body synthesizes serotonin that gets recycled into that night's melatonin. And you can also do things like red light therapy where you get a lot of infrared. You can also get a lot of infrared from being outside, but your body can make that subcellular melatonin from exposure to near infrared light. So that can be helpful. But again, that really strong morning signal is important if you're missing sunrise. The good thing is it's winter right now, and so the sun is coming up a bit later for most people. It's not like the 5 a.m. sunrise like I know some of my Canadian friends have to deal with. So it's not as early. But really being very, very honest with yourself. Are you laying in your bed scrolling on your phone? Even if you're wearing blue blockers and your phone screen is red and you're laying in your bed scrolling, you're still activating neurotransmitters that could stop the production of melatonin. So you can still look at stuff on your phone, even, you know, the red, you know, blue blockers and the red phone screen, which that's not really fun to scroll through stuff when things on your screen are red and your glasses are red. You're kind of like, I'm not really super interested in this stuff. But even if you are doing that, you're still doing it, you have specific neurotransmitters that are pumping out that are going to stop your body from winding down and getting you into that parasympathetic state and allowing your body to start making melatonin. So yeah, blue blockers, yes, red phone screen, but again, you got to wind it down a bit too. And that can be difficult. I also recommend working on the nervous system. My friend Irene Lyon, I mentioned her quite a bit. She's got some great nervous system programs that I think people, you know, if you're trying to do all the things, you're still having the issue where you can't get up, you can't get things regulated. I think looking at the nervous system is that next step for a lot of people. And it works really beautifully with the circadian landscape. It really, really does. So I would check into that for sure. And just, you know, really be honest with yourself about your evening routine and what you're doing. Are you eating too close to bed? Things that could be preventing your body from the body temperature dropping, from melatonin being produced, just looking at those things, honestly, and then really spending as much time as you can out there in that UVA light. Someone wants to know about quantum approaches for ADHD and autism. And honestly, all the things that I talk about on the regular are great for ADHD and autism. They're great. My daughter loves the red light panel. I'm sitting outside most mornings. She'll come out and join me most mornings. And so those things help her. They also help her get better sleep. So really nothing different than what I am doing from a normal quantum perspective. My daughter also really likes cold plunging. She'll ask for the cold plunge a lot. And so I have seen a lot of people with ADHD. I don't really know a ton of people with autism other than my daughter and her friends, but my daughter loves cold plunging. She likes sauna too. She kind of likes to go back and forth between the sauna and the cold plunge, but I know the cold plunge really helps her neurotransmitters quite a bit. And so, and the diet is also helpful for her as well. There's a huge difference with my daughter when she is not following a more quantum approach to eating. If she's eating, you know, processed foods, a lot of sugary stuff, she has a lot less executive control over her actions, over her emotions, all of that stuff. And she'll even say it, you know, she's spelled it on the letter board that she feels better physically and mentally when she's eating a more local seasonal diet. We have had her keto for a while now because she started having seizures earlier this year. And so the keto approach has been also helpful for her to help with that aspect, but with her behavior and her mood, the keto also helps as well. Next question is how to deal with really dark mornings when the sun's not up until late. Blue blockers, obviously, but what to do about food? This really is going to depend on your hormonal situation. So if your hormones are just really messed up and your cortisol is all over the place, I will tell you that I think it's okay. And some people are going to disagree with me on the quantum space. I think it's okay to go ahead and give your body some food if you're awake and you're really hungry. Wear the blue blockers, try to keep things super restorative. Know that food is going to phase shift you to wake up at that time. So if you're like waking up at 5 and you don't want to be awake at 5, try to just rest, meditate, pray, stay in bed, and then eat a little something if you can help it. If you do have to be up and off to work before the sun is up, I do like also people to eat before you get in the car and start driving and kind of dealing with the stress of being behind the wheel. It just is a nice signal to give your body and can help your adrenals not to have to pump out so much cortisol to get you through to breakfast. So definitely blue blockers if you wake up before sunrise. And then eating is going to be situation dependent. If you don't want to be awake at that time, try to wait a little bit to eat closer to sunrise. If you have to be awake because you have to be at work or school or something like that, then have some breakfast, right? And then make sure when you get to sunrise, if you can, step outside and get the natural signal from sunlight or open a window. Do something to get outside and get that natural signal into your eyes. This next question is, are you against the carnivore diet? No, definitely not. Just like I mentioned a little bit earlier, I think it really has some great therapeutic uses. It just hasn't passed that litmus test for a lot of my clients and myself as something that you do 365 days a year. But I do think you can do it strategically. And I'm definitely not against it. I've seen a lot of health conditions reverse. And my daughter a lot of times ends up eating carnivore, to be honest with you. She's just not a big fan of like keto foods. And then also to keep her in therapeutic ketosis, some days it's just easier to just do more of a carnivore approach with her. And I do see it being helpful for her. So definitely not against it at all. Someone wants to know how to avoid frost nip when cold plunging. I'm not sure if they're talking about the lady parts getting too cold or just getting too cold, period. You have to let your body adapt to cold plunging. That's why I made an entire cold therapy course for anyone who does want to do cold plunging. There's a process where you start with maybe just going outside in the cold, maybe just dunking your face or your wrist, right? And then once you start actually plunging, don't go to 32 degrees. Don't take it down to like zero, because you don't need to do that to get a benefit. I have most people start at like 60 degrees and then work down slowly, and don't do it every single day. Because if you try to go too fast, too soon, it can make you sick. It can negate a lot of the benefits. So I'm a big fan in slowly cold adapting and then not doing it too much. And then, you know, if the lady parts are getting frost nip, then wear a bathing suit, you know, wear something over that area. And that I find tends to really help quite a bit. Thoughts on using an EMR tech as ambient light, or if you can't see sunrise. So let's talk about the ambient light. I already addressed the sunrise. It's not as sufficient. There's no substitute for sunrise. Even if it's cloudy, rainy, all that stuff, there is no substitute for getting the natural signal. However, it can be helpful if you have these cloudy, rainy days and you're like, oh my gosh, I just need some light. Then do the red light therapy. It can very much help you. As far as it goes for ambient light at night, this is person by person. I personally will use my red light panel on the floor. I'll just turn the red on. I won't turn on the near infrared. And I'll just put it on the floor and it's fine. I use it to light up this bedroom. I'll take a nice bath. You might see that on my Instagram stories where I'm taking a bath with my red light panel on in the background. However, I do want to mention I've had some clients recently that still are having sleep disturbances and have experimented with not using that red light after sunset, just blue blockers and, you know, no panel, because it can be bright. And sometimes there's one particular study. If you look at, I think it's like, just Google in pub or just go to PubMed and look at red light and melatonin. I believe that's the best way to find it. But for some people, even red light can stop that production of melatonin. So you have to just do it on a case by case basis. Again, some people, it's awesome. It's going to, you know, be a nice relaxing light to have on at night. Some people, it might actually disturb your sleep. I don't like anyone doing an actual treatment on the skin after sunset, because I've definitely seen that disturb a lot of people's sleep. But as far as using it as an ambient light, I used to say everyone go for it, but now I'm like case by case basis, kind of experiment and see what works best for you. Somebody wants to know what I think about infrared sauna use during pregnancy. I guess the UK is super against it. I know the US is too, and the Finnish are very much for it. And by the way, I have been corrected by many a Finnish person that it's sauna, not sauna. So I apologize for that. But personally, I did not do any sauna or any cold plunging during pregnancy because it just didn't feel right. I just had this visceral, like, no, I don't want to do that. I can do it after the baby's here, right? I have some people that will just go and turn their sauna on so while it's heating up and stay in there for just a few minutes. So they're getting some really nice infrared. I think that's okay. But and some people are okay with the sauna during pregnancy. I'm just one of those people that for me, it didn't intuitively feel right. And if a client asks me, should I do it? Should I not do it? I'm typically going to say probably not. And what does your gut say? And if you really want to do it, maybe just do that technique where you go sit on in it and like turn it on just while it's warming up for 10 minutes or so, just to get some of that infrared. But again, that's just my personal opinion. None of this is medical advice on this episode or any of the episodes, by the way, and just my personal opinion. Someone wants to know how much Sole water to drink in a day. Sole water is like a concentrated salt solution. You can Google Sole. It's S-O-L-E. Get a lot of great recipes. So you can make your own, add it to your water. It's similar to Quinton isotonic if you want a little bit more of a cost-effective way to get that nice electrolyte solution into your body. This is another one that's intuition, right? There is, I don't know what your mineral status looks like in your body. And if you're really craving more and more and more of it, then there's a chance you need it, right? When I was pregnant and you know, doing breastfeeding and everything, I will drink as much minerals, Quinton, hypertonic as I want. And I don't measure it out. I'll just kind of pour a little bit in my water, or I'll even pick up the bottle and just drink straight out of it if I really am like, I just need some, because I try to just listen to my body. And that's a really tough conversation that I try to keep having with people. They want to know how much of this and how much of that. And honestly, I don't know what's right for you. If you're craving a lot of Sole water, you might actually need it. Just try to tune in and listen. I think that we run into a lot of problems when we're constantly trying to override the body, or we're trying to find on a podcast or on YouTube, like the perfect solution or the perfect amount of time for this, that, and the other. And yeah, we learn a lot through podcasts and YouTubes, but we've gone the other way where we just don't have that ability to tune into our body's own innate wisdom anymore. And I think that's super, super unfortunate. So listen to your body on this one. Favorite books for circadian biology, definitely The Circadian Code by Sachin Panda. Anything by Jacob Lieberman, I think is fantastic. Quantum books, The Body Electric is a fantastic book for really understanding the electric capability of the body. And then I know my friend Carrie Bennett has a really, really great book list. There's just tons and tons of books. Dr. Gerald Pollack's book, The Fourth Phase of Water, is really good. Lights Out by T.S. Wiley. I love that book. That's a really great book about hormones and circadian biology. The UV Advantage is a great book. But those are some really, really good ones to kind of get you started. And again, my friend Carrie Bennett, Carrie B Wellness, she has a great book list on her website also, if you want to dive in. And she's read all the books, and she's a lot more nerdy than I am about that kind of stuff. Nervous system and melanin. I love this. And to be honest with you, I'm still learning quite a bit about this, but melanin is actually a protective mechanism in your body, especially when we build it up. Funny story, not really funny, but had a really stressful August. I had a really nice deep tan and had a really stressful August. My daughter was in the ICU and we had to be in the hospital. Lots of blue light, even though I did all the things, my tan was like gone by the end of that week. I was able to kind of build it back up after we got home, because I live again in Georgia. UV index is to the point where I could still get a nice tan in September and October, but it actually is a way to measure your body's redox potential. If you're able to be resilient, how healthy your mitochondria are can actually show up in your body's ability to make melanin and then hold on to that melanin. Dr. Sarah Pugh just stayed a month here with us. Actually 6 weeks with us. She just went back. And she kept her tan. I don't know how, because my house is pretty crazy. But she kept her tan almost the whole time she was here. She was also using my cold plunge, my big giant red light panel, the Firehawk, and grounding. And we were always up for sunrise together. We always had our blue blockers on every single night. And she's from the UK. She had a really nice tan going home here in like mid-December. So melanin can actually pull this, and this is, again, you can look up studies on this on PubMed, has the ability to help you detox heavy metals. But as far as that nervous system component goes, it actually shows it can show the nervous system's capacity to be more resilient. And that's a topic I'm going to have to dive into more, maybe have somebody on the podcast in the near future to dive into this topic a little bit deeper, but there is a big connection. So it is really interesting. And I recommend everyone kind of dive deeper and study that a little bit more. Someone wants to know circadian rhythm and liver function. Does it help detox? So this is an interesting one. And you have to think about the fact that every single cell and organ system in your body has a circadian clock in front of it. So this is why circadian rhythms are tied to, and disrupted circadian rhythms and circadian mismatch are tied to a host of diseases, right? Autoimmune diseases, cancer, diabetes, obesity, all these things, even heart attacks. Dr. Stephen Hussey has been putting out, he's been on the show a couple of times, some really interesting information on the heart and circadian rhythms, on the heart and structured water, the intracellular water that our body makes. And so yes, the liver is absolutely tied to circadian rhythms and the ability for those drainage pathways to open, absolutely tied to circadian rhythms. So I've been down the functional medicine rabbit hole slash ringer again this year. And like I mentioned earlier, I did record an entire podcast that I kind of called my team and was like, delete, do not post. Just because I'm not ready to, deal with the amount of, feedback I'm probably getting, not feedback, but the amount of people that are going to probably reach out to me after I share what's been going on over the last year, I'm not ready for it. And then I'm not ready to kind of open myself up that way. But I'm going to tell you that we've done a lot of testing for all the stuff that's all the rage, heavy metals, parasite, lime, mold, to the tune of thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And guess what? Dead end, dead end, dead end. And a lot of kids like my daughter, their families are being preyed upon by a lot of these doctors that are the functional doctors that are doing all this testing and giving them supplements, the same crap I went through with my fertility journey, which was a nightmare to have to do this functional route, and it's happening to a lot of these kids. And so it's hard for me to stay totally quiet about all this detoxing and, it's the parasites that are causing this and it's the heavy metals, the parasites and heavy metals and all that stuff are a signal that the host is not robust. There's a signal of a deeper issue. And these things are going to come back if you don't address the root cause. You're going to keep getting parasites. You're going to keep on having to do detoxes and you're going to keep on having to do cleanses. I've talked about this a lot on the show. Sorry for the tangent. I'm just feeling like a little irritated about the whole topic lately because I keep on, I dealt with it in my personal life, but I also see people, they come to me often after doing all of these cleanses and detoxes without doing the foundational work first, and they're worse off. And they've spent a whole lot of money, and it's criminal. Honestly, it's really upsetting. Am I saying never ever detox and never do any of that stuff? No, I think sometimes that stuff can be helpful, and our body is naturally meant to detox at certain times of the year. And maybe it's good to kind of do some fasting, and I think that's a natural rhythm and something that our bodies are really supposed to do anyway. Right. And we don't do that. We're always eating all the time and we're always having summer, even in the middle of winter. And that's another reason why it's a circadian mismatch for the body. But if you are following circadian rhythms, your organ systems are timed up with sun, your body clock is timed up, you're eating appropriately with the seasons, like I talk about in my quantum nutrition and then also in my free content, the detox is a lot more able to happen. And then you can, if you do the foundations, you can do some cleansing and detox, gentle stuff, and it can actually make a big difference. So, I know that was a really long-winded answer for your question, but yes, absolutely. Liver function and circadian rhythms are absolutely tied together. Okay. Someone says that they are doing all the circadian things and they're still waking up at 1 o'clock in the morning every night. My question would be, are you able to fall back asleep or are you waking up and staying up? Because sometimes it's normal to wake up in the night and we've reached the end of a sleep cycle. But if you can go back to sleep and you're not laying awake, you're not having a cortisol awakening response, the CAR, if you're having a cortisol awakening response at 1 a.m. and your heart's pounding and you're awake and you can't go back to sleep, then that's an issue, right? But I'm not taking that from this question, because again, that would you know, look a little deeper at some other things we could do with nutrition. But if you're waking up at one and you're able to go back to sleep, it's not like the worst thing in the world. And 3 months is a drop in the bucket. I know that's not what everyone wants to hear, but I've been doing all this stuff since 2021, which is also a drop in the bucket compared to a lot of people. But my body continues to be more resilient. If I had had the same stressful year this year in 2021 that I had in 2023, I don't think I would have handled it as well. I don't know that I would have been as resilient mentally and physically because I didn't have this foundation. And I did an episode with my friend Carrie Bennett on Quantum Conversations, which is my other podcast that I do again with Carrie Bennett. And we talked about this, how these quantum strategies can make your body more resilient. And sometimes it takes longer, right? If you've had poor sleep for 20 years, it may take a little bit longer than a couple weeks for that to correct. I have had a lot of people though that are like, I haven't slept through the night in 20 years. I did your 21-day leptin reset, or even followed your free content. And now I'm sleeping through the night for the first time. And it's amazing. Oh my gosh. Right. But some people, it may take a little bit longer and we might need to be doing some tweaking and there might be some nervous system work that needs to be done. Because again, that is the other component that I think a lot of people miss is the impact that the nervous system has, right? Just like the I'm laying in bed, I'm looking at my phone, my phone screen is red and I'm wearing red blue blockers, but I still have crappy sleep. Well, because your nervous system is getting jolted probably by, if you're on Instagram, doom scrolling, right? You don't know what's going to pop up in the algorithm. That might cause an issue for you with your sleep, with blocking melatonin production. So I would look at some of those things. And then it's always, you know, you can always join my private membership group. It's $20 a month. If you do the leptin reset or quantum nutrition, you get a free month, or any of my bundles, you get a free month of the membership group. And then it's $20 a month if you want to stay. But that membership group is a great place for questions like this, because then we can help you. I have people in that group that are like, I have this problem and I'm doing this stuff in your program. And then I'm like, okay, let's look at your day, right? We have 2 Zoom meetings a week. I'm like, let's look at your day. Post for me your routine. Post for me your meals. And we can actually like look at that stuff together, and you can post anonymously in the group if you don't want anyone to know who you are. We do allow anonymous posting. But then there's some tweaking that can be done, because I try to put out as much free content as I can. And then, like I said, I've got that course that's $25. That's a 10-day leptin sensitive for the holidays course, right? So I want to try to put out stuff that's accessible to everyone. But sometimes we do need to look deeper. Sometimes there's a little bit more tweaking that can be done. So I think that's the last question. Somebody wanted to know that the last one was about the Brava appliance. It cooks with light instead of radiation. I have never heard of this. So I'm going to have to do some research on this. I haven't heard of this appliance before. Sounds kind of cool. But I think I got to all the questions, and thank you to everyone who submitted them. If I get a lot of good feedback on this episode, I'll do another one like this soon. And thank you so much for watching. Again, all the links to my free resources, that 10-day course that's $25 and only available until December 15th is available in the show notes for you. And then all my December specials, if you want to save on some of these other programs, that's down in the show notes also. And then thanks to VivaRays, my sponsor for circadian glasses and eye masks, earplugs, all the things, and upgraded formulas, are really great source for magnesium. And then hair tissue mineral analysis with a consultation if you really want to know what's going on with your minerals. So I'm, you know, here's the thing. Please listen to your intuition. Try not to override your body constantly, especially when it comes to things like minerals. If you're craving a certain thing or you're wanting more of a certain thing, there's typically a reason behind it. Testing can be helpful, but I think we get so trapped in the testing mentality that we override our body's own innate wisdom. Hopefully Upgraded Formulas doesn't hear me say all that as I advertise their hair tissue mineral analysis, but I just want to keep it real with you guys. And they have great magnesium. Thank you so much for listening. Let me know if you enjoyed this Q&A. I will do another one sometime soon. And thanks again for listening.